Hey everyone, welcome to the Grove Collective Podcast. We have Palmer Chinchin as our guest on today's episode. Palmer, it's really good to have you here, man.
Love it. Love this new series you're doing. Love the new Grove Collective Podcast. Yeah. I can't wait to see where that goes.
Yeah, we're so excited. And really what we're doing too is what we want to do is we want to share more of the heartbeat of the Grove. Yeah. And in doing so, we want to share the heartbeat of the people of the Grove too.
And good.
So, yeah, I've got a lot of what I think interesting questions and awesome questions that I wanted to ask you. And really, the whole premise of our time together is just for our people to get to know your heart a little bit better.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Nate.
Yeah, you're welcome. And one of the things, first off, anybody that I think knows us knows this, but maybe there's some people out there that don't. First off, I think it's important to know that you're an identical twin.
We're both identical twins.
Yeah.
And my identical twin, Paul, was great friends with your twin brother in Africa.
Yes.
Where your brother worked with him.
Yes.
And that's how I got
it's
to
so
know
funny.
You.
People always ask me, they're like, how did you get to the Grove? And I'm like, well, number one, it's a long story. Number two, you're probably not going to believe me. But basically, it was our twins connecting all the way across the world.
In Africa.
That connected us in Chandler, Arizona. Yeah. So the first question I wanted to ask you, Palmer, is, what was it like for you growing up with an identical twin, and how has that shaped you today in the man that you are?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible feeling having someone who always has your back.
Always.
Someone who's with you no matter what.
Yep.
You can think of your most loyal twin, I mean friend.
Yeah.
But a twin is 10 times as loyal as that. So we were always the smallest kids in school, but never afraid of anybody.
That's right.
Because there were always two of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like two spider monkeys.
That's
so
awesome.
You're messing with both. Anyway.
That's awesome.
But it made you feel like you could do more things.
Yes.
It made you fearless to take on challenges.
Man.
So our friends, to be honest, they looked to not either one of us, but us collectively.
That's right.
As to, okay, what are we doing next? But we did so many innovative things that I think by myself I never would have done.
Never would have done.
Yeah.
It speaks to the power of community. Mm. And I think people are drawn to that as well. There's only so much we can do on our own.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what happens too, you just said this, you move out in strength when you have relationships.
Absolutely.
You do. Man, that's really cool. And I can see how that has helped you to move out into the world in strength and even accomplish things that you've accomplished today. Yeah.
Yeah, and even very soon I'll be heading to Africa to work with my identical twin brother there who leads our college there. So get to do ministry with him real soon.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of Africa, there is something that I know that you'll sometimes refer to yourself as, and I think that this is pretty unique. You say that you're an expatriate.
Yes.
Yeah, I want you to talk to all of us about what that means and where that comes from.
Well, living overseas, pretty soon you become known as an expat. There's the expat community, and expatriates are people who don't just live in other countries, but I think there's a heart of an expatriate, and I often talk about that's kind of who I am. That's part of my identity. Because once you've lived globally, I think you see the world differently.
Yeah.
And I think personally, you see the value in each culture. You see the value in each nation and country. Mm. You see the value of a people's language. You see the value of their food. You know, that's what but expatriates, you know, I think can look out and see the need for everyone to be included and treated equally because all of us bring something that's good and beautiful to the table as followers of Jesus Christ. But that's something that really shaped me as a person was growing up an expatriate. Now I feel that's part of who I am at the core.
Yeah, absolutely. And I even want to back up and I want you to share a little bit about your experience with your mother and your father taking you guys overseas to live, right? That's largely shaped who you are.
I think most of our Grove audience knows that when I was about 6 years old, we flew a single engine prop plane, dropped us off in the world's thickest rainforest. Our first house was a bamboo mat house built on stilts about this high off the ground.
Yeah.
And my pet was a chimpanzee named Tarzan that slept in the bed between my twin brother and I at night.
Yeah.
So it's very remote. And so, the life as I remember, we started as jungle missionaries.
When that, so at 6 years old, you're still pretty young.
Yeah.
When that happened, were you kind of grieving what you were leaving, or were you excited, like, oh my gosh, this is an adventure, like, I can't believe. What were you experiencing?
I don't think it sunk in. You know, if they had said, let's go to Oklahoma or Liberia, West Africa, who knew?
Yeah, yeah. And I have had the honor and the privilege to get to know both of your parents. And there's a quote that comes to my mind that I wanted to share with you. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about how this has shaped you. And that quote is that, if I have seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants.
Wow, that's powerful.
And it is powerful, and it reminds me of...
Who is it that says that?
Sir Isaac Newton, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And this quote came up when I was thinking about you and your life, because I know what your mother and father sacrificed and what they've built and the impact they've had in Africa, but not only in Africa, just the kingdom of God.
Sure.
How has that shaped who you are and given you the ability to see further?
Yeah, it's a powerful analogy to picture yourself on the shoulders, seeing from where they see, even from a higher vantage.
That's right.
And I got to see that my whole life. I lived close to half my life in Africa, but certainly the first 20 years living there shaped who I am as a as a person, as a Christian, as a pastor. And seeing my parents always have faith. You know their motto for their college is faith in action, God in motion.
Yeah.
And I watched them take the most ridiculous, absurd steps of faith, always believing that God was going to be there and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped thinking anything was impossible.
You always felt
like, sure, if we feel like God wants us to do, it's going to happen. It's like it's done.
Yep.
And so that's, without maybe even knowing it, that's how I've lived my life or tried to live my life. But they certainly have had the most profound influence on my life of anyone.
Yeah, and even me, Palmer, looking from the outside in, it's so cool how God blessed you with an identical twin. That has helped you move out in strength to accomplish more. But God also gave you two amazing parents that were visionaries, and they sacrificed and they had huge faith.
Yeah.
And that has also given you an opportunity to see further and to go further too.
Yeah.
So that's really awesome. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched them, and some of these qualities in my father, for example, of taking initiative, doing something innovative that no one else had done. Having people, and I knew this from when I was a kid, tell him he couldn't do it or he shouldn't do it. He didn't have the right education. They told him that.
Yeah.
He had churches and denominations refuse to get behind him because they said he didn't have background in higher education.
Yeah.
And so I watched him, and he still innovated. He still took steps of faith. He still took initiative. And so I hold on to those things because I think, Nate, you know this, all of us that try to do something new and daring, there will always be those challenges.
Yeah. I know, you know, we know that the Grove is different. And it's not just our worship space that is different here, Palmer. There is something different about our church, and people experience it and they encounter it when they come on our campus. Can you share about the values that you have been so intentional about when it comes to being a part of planting this church and then having that vision just come to life?
Yeah, if I could just kind of share my own path that I've been down and how it's influenced the Grove.
Yeah.
Is that Veronica and I, soon after we got married, moved to West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were teaching at African Bible College, I just finished a master's degree in my early 20s, a civil war broke out. And I didn't even know what genocide was at the time, and there was genocide all around us.
Mm.
And we managed to escape. She was 8 months pregnant. And I came back to our church in California. Great church, great godly people. Nobody cared.
Mm.
I would try to tell people what I'd been through, and then they'd say, what was the score of the Dodger game last night?
Yeah.
It just, nobody seemed to care. And I had this tragedy, atrocity was happening in my home, and nobody at church seemed to care.
That's rough.
A few years later, a number of years later, now we have four sons, we moved back to Malawi. And Malawi, there are a million orphans of AIDS in Malawi.
Mm.
I had friend after friend while I was there, I learned they had AIDS. I watched friends die.
Mm.
like I said, there's this problem of orphans there as well. And we came back after being there 2 years. I go to my home church and I start to tell people about what's happening there and how extreme poverty is so extreme. People are living on less than 30 cents a day in Malawi. And I got to be honest, Nate, nobody seemed to care. Mm. Nobody was doing anything about it either. And so after our time serving at African Bible College in Malawi, you know, I felt God saying, Palmer, it's time to come back into the pastorate. And so when Veronica and I started to dream about a church, we kept talking about a different kind of church, yeah. a new kind of church, a kind of church that would care about the things that are not right in this world, that we would hope to recruit people who would be change makers and would address the problems of poverty and orphans and war and AIDS and injustice and oppression. Yeah. And so from my first month here, those were the things I talked about. If I'm honest, and I don't want you or anyone listening or watching to take this wrong, but when I came back and we started the Grove, I saw this in the church in our country. In our country, the American church is very good at some things. We're very good at worship.
Yeah.
We're very good at small groups. Mm-hmm. We're very good at personal devotions.
Yes.
We're good at those things.
We are.
Those are great things. Those are necessary things. But the church in our country is not so good at caring for the oppressed, caring for the marginalized. We're not so good at stopping injustice. Mm-hmm. We're not so good at treating people equally. And so that's why when we started the church, we wanted a kind of church that valued the things that Jesus valued, that yeah. valued the things that God talks about in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a bit of a sermon right there, but no, thank you for asking. That's,
yeah.
that's at the core of who I am as the pastor of the Grove.
Well, it's at the core of who you are. It's at the core of our church's values too. And I think that if I'm being honest, you and maybe sometimes the Grove can be misunderstood at times because, and I say this, and I mean it in a good, healthy way, but justice and social justice has become sort of a buzzword today. It has. And I think some people are turned off by that, and especially people in our churches, if I'm just going to be honest here.
Yeah.
But justice for you hasn't been a buzzword. It's been something that you've cared deeply about for many years. Yeah. And so, can you talk about, I mean, I feel like you kind of just did, that's where that passion for justice comes from.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, so, and Nate, you touch on something, and it's so unfortunate that people misunderstand this biblical value
exactly.
of justice, because the Bible, it beats with God's cry for justice from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, practically every book in the Bible, you can pull out these justice themes. Mm-hmm. And I've been writing books on this for almost 15 years, long before it became a buzzword on our news channels.
Yeah.
Because at the very core of who we are as followers of God, we are to be people who lift up those who have been pushed down. Yeah. We are to seek the equal treatment. We're to see the value of every person, every woman, people of every background, race, nationality. We have to see that and celebrate that.
That's right. That's right. And it's just a reminder that our church is here to make a difference.
Yeah.
Our church specifically, not just locally, but globally as well.
Yeah.
I have a series of kind of rapid fire questions that I want to ask you.
Let's go.
And I want you to share from the
heart. As you would say, come on.
Yep. Let's go. And it has to be the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
All right.
So this question has the potential to expose some of our like core passions and who we are. So it sounds like a weird question, but here we go. What breaks your heart?
What breaks my heart is we have so many people that don't love having the immigrant in our country.
Mm.
But the Bible beats with this call for hospitality in the Old Testament, too, that we are to show love to the sojourner. Sojourner is simply a foreigner, and we have this exceptional responsibility that God says to the people of Israel. He says, because you were foreigners in the land of Egypt, you were a sojourner, you were a refugee, you have an exceptional duty to welcome and love the sojourner, the foreigner, the immigrant.
So,
that breaks my heart. that there are a lot of people that go to church that don't love the immigrant so much. We're hoping to change that, Nate.
Yeah.
I think we can.
I think we can. And I think you brought up something really powerful that we often forget, that we all are like foreigners in a foreign land. And we're really all, we all should be walking each other home.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And we forget that.
Yeah.
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 Well, that was a great answer to that question. Here's one that I have for you, and the first thing that comes to mind. If you were given only 30 minutes in a day to do a work-related activity, so something that you enjoyed doing, but it was for work, only 30 minutes a day, what would you do?
I'd write.
You'd write? You know, I knew that you were going to say that.
You didn't give me time to think about
it. Well, no, you don't need to think about it. That's
the point. When I have free time and like I can, there's space and music playing.
Yes.
Lo-fi. Mm-hmm. I write.
Yep.
I love to write. I get to express what's in my heart. I feel that's how my creativity comes out.
Yeah.
So I write.
So whenever anybody answers that question, the first thing that comes to your mind, you need to find a way to do more of it. So I want to encourage you.
Kidding.
Yes, you need to, because that is like, that's your core passion.
My wife asked me that this week, why I'm not, I said, I don't have enough time right now.
You better create some
time. I
have
to find time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're ready for a new book, man.
It's coming.
Yeah. What are some things that you're doing right now or experiencing in your life right now that is bringing you joy?
Whew, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I just, 4 weeks ago, we had our second grandbaby.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm not doing much but loving them, but it's a new stage of life. We have baby Chloe, who's 10 months old, and baby Haley, who's 30 days old. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing season.
Yeah.
That's bringing a lot of joy to our
I bet, man. How ironic that you and Veronica have four sons.
Yeah.
Yes. And I remember thinking, wow, how blessed, man. Four boys, come on.
Strong.
And now you have two granddaughters.
And so two daughter-in-laws.
Two daughter-in-laws, that's right. So, yeah, so the ladies are making a comeback in the Chin Chin household, man.
I love it.
That's awesome. Well, Palmer, thank you so much for your time on this episode of the Grove Collective Podcast. It's been awesome getting to hear your heart, getting to hear your passion for justice. And thank you for joining us on the Grove Collective Podcast. I hope that you've been encouraged, and I hope that all of us feel more invigorated and excited and passionate about changing things in this world that aren't right. So thank you guys for joining us on the Grove Collective Podcast. Palmer, it's been an absolute joy and an honor, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Nate. Yeah. And thank you for the people of Grove. We are who we are because of you.
That's
because
right.
Because of you.